This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This week we're going to review Doctor Sleep for you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this sequel to the 1981 horror classic, The Shining.
The Shining.
Doctor Sleep is directed and written by Mike Flanagan, based on Stephen King's novel of the same name. Stars Ewan McGregor, Wayne's favorite, Rebecca Ferguson, Carly Curran, and Cliff Curtis. It's 152 minutes long, with a budget of between $45 and $55 million. And thus far, although we haven't even got Saturday actuals in yet, it's only $10.8 million. So,
damn,
relatively quiet, but not anywhere near as bad as Terminator Dark Fate as last week. The critical response is generally favorable, with 73% of reviews on Rotten Tomatoes getting that tomato score. And Metacritic gives it a score of 60 out of 100, always harder or harsher, Metacritic.
That's so.
What's it about, Wayne?
Well, first let's get this out of the way. Oh, won't you help me, Dr. Sleep?
Dr. Sleep.
Thank you. I've been trying to do that since you came in. All right. Dr. Sleep, as you say, the sequel to The Shining, and it shows Danny Torrance, now from The Shining, all grown up, and he's struggling with alcoholism just like his father, and he's still traumatized by the events of the Overlook Hotel, and the ghosts from the hotel have followed him, but he's learned to contain them in a mental lockbox. He still spends years as an alcoholic because the drinking suppresses the shining. And he wanders from town to town, and now he's in his 40s, and he gets sober, and he settles in a New Hampshire town called Fraser, gets a job at a hospice where he uses his new really reemerged psychic gift to comfort patients who are terminal. And they call him Dr. Sleep. He also forms a psychic connection with a young girl named Abra Stone. Her powers are even more strong than his own. And there are these bad guys, a cult called the True Knot, who are like evil, and they feed off kids like Danny and Abra who have the shine, because the shine is like produces steam, which is what they feed off to keep themselves alive. And the way they extract that steam is not very pleasant. And now Danny and Abra need to form this like weird alliance to try and defeat the cult members before they kill everyone's ass. Paul?
It was a lengthy description, which makes sense because it's a lengthy film.
Oh God, is it ever?
Yeah. Now, we did not see this one together.
New.
And so we have no idea of how the other is going to react. But here it is then. Wayne, what did you think of the sequel to The Shining?
Yeah, good. Yeah, okay. Really good.
I'm
really
kind of surprised.
Look, I'm surprised too, because here's what I did, everyone. But this is, if you're like me and not a man, like, just, and you know, you have a problem with like horror films
I
and stuff.
I can confirm.
Yes, yes.
This man has no dick.
No balls. Yeah, that's right, no dick, that's right. Do what I did if you're going to watch this movie. Go on YouTube and look up a video called The Shining in 10 minutes. It will give you all the beats and everything that you need to know, and it's really important visually for you to connect with this film, okay? Then go watch this film. And maybe do some research and find out that it's 2.5 hours before you go in. All right? So you can piss if you want. Yeah.
I only found out it was 2.5 hours long as I walked into the theater.
I found out when I Googled halfway through the movie.
Because I was like, all right, well, 7:30. Yeah, okay, I'll get out pretty early. Oh, no, I won't be.
Oh, I saw a 1 p.m. session yesterday. So, like, you know.
Oh, that's why I turned up to the party late.
Yes, it
Richter.
Is. Yes, it is, Richter. Yes. Look, first of all, right from the beginning, I didn't know Rebecca Ferguson was in the movie.
Oh, there you go.
All right?
I forgot the Rebecca Ferguson fact automatically gives an extra star for Wayne.
Dude, it's like, because all you see from the beginning is like her, a woman sitting on a stump in a forest or something, and then from behind, right? And just from that little shot, I'm like, whoever that is, something about the shape of her or something is fetching.
The shape of her.
I don't know, because you can sort of you can't really see much. She's got a hat on and stuff. Anyway, and then like it turns out it's her. It's Rebecca Ferguson!
Wayne was right? Like,
thrill me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow. And then it turns out she's a baddie. But she's still so beautiful, I couldn't take my eyes off her. She's amazing, everyone. Anyhow, so that's great.
Welcome to Rebecca Ferguson Cast with your host, Wayne Aruzu.
She's today's Kate Beckinsale. All right, so...
I don't know.
Yeah. In fact, more accessible, so even better, in my opinion.
Sure, okay.
I'm just saying, one guy talking. Okay, so yes, I did like it very much, Paul. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Now,
I think it does a pretty good job of straddling the two fandoms that this film needs to. First of all, there is The Shining.
Right.
A revered horror film, and most people who love horror films, and certainly people who love cinema, love The Shining. Like, it's one of the most...
Of course.
Revered films ever made. Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece, or one of many.
Which I didn't see until this podcast. And I kind of agree. Like, and usually I don't when it's an old-ass movie that I see later on.
I watched it a long time ago. I have it ready to watch again. Didn't get a chance to before we've done this review. I want to rewatch it to see whether my appreciation has improved. But watching it as a teenager, I was like, eh.
Because did you get all the layers and crap?
God, no. Because I was a teenager when I watched it.
The reason it's good is because of all the stuff he put in there.
Yeah.
So that is kind of genius.
So Mike Flanagan has to appease the fans of The Shining. And of course, no one is saying this film is as good as The Shining. I've not seen a single review saying this is as good or better. But at the same time, Stephen King hates The Shining.
Yes, famously.
Right. So it's based obviously off his book. He wrote this sequel 7 or so years ago.
Right.
And released it as kind of, here's really the what really went on. And obviously the ending of the film and the ending of the book are very, very different.
Now, in spoilers, I will ask you all about that because I'm very curious.
Okay. Then the book comes. So he's also got to appease Stephen King and his loyal King fans or whatever they're called, Kingians or whatever, to make some words up. So he's got both ends of the spectrum here he's trying to balance. And I think he does a pretty good job.
I think he does an incredibly good job because you can see this is a Shining movie universe, even though he's writing the sequel to the novel, he said. Right? Because the novels and the Shining novel and the Shining movie end differently.
Yes.
Different things happen. Said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
As you said, yeah, sorry. And that's why I have a question about the end of this one, which I'll talk to you about later. But the fact that it looks kind of so much like The Shining.
Yeah. And then, they really went to great deep.
Even the helicopter extent, shot of the.
As they're coming in.
Which is half late in this movie.
Which we need to be very careful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll stick it. It is a spoiler, although it's really bleedingly obvious. So we were just.
Not to me. I don't know what I'm talking. I had no idea what was going to go on. So I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen now. Yeah. So. But that's me.
Yeah. I think, like the book, the two biggest problems in this film are, one, its pacing isn't good at all points. You really have to hang in there.
That's the bad part of this movie. Yep. It's too damn long.
It is. You know, cutting 20, 25 minutes would really
would
help this film
a lot.
A great deal. And most of that cutting could have come from the early part of the film and the middle part. Like, the last 45, 50 minutes are all needed.
Yes.
I would argue.
Middle, I felt it. That's where it was. Because I was happy to learn at the beginning.
Yeah, you're getting into the world, whereas I was already there and knew exactly what to expect having read the book. So maybe that's why my boredom's too strong a word, but I was a little bit antsy.
No, it was slightly tedious.
The other part is, other than one very notable scene, which again we'll acknowledge in spoilers, it's not that horrifying, this film. It wants to be scary, and this is why I understand why you probably liked it.
Yes.
I would suggest the scariest thing in this film is happening in the first 10 minutes, and after that, it's not scary at all.
Then there's this piece in the middle that I did not enjoy.
No, that's probably what I'm referring to, but it's not. That's not scary. That's horrifying.
It's very horrifying. Yeah. Oh my God, I had a problem with it. Look, I think, like you said, this guy's bag, this director, is dread, not jump scares. Yeah. I like that much better.
Well, ironically, this is the guy that did the House on Haunted Hill Netflix series.
Yeah, I've
read
that.
Right?
I didn't know that.
And that has some of the best jump scares ever put together, I would suggest.
But that's
so
his
much
TV
that,
show, you know?
So much that my fiance twice almost spilt my drink out of my hand and she leapt into the air and flailed at that. I don't think there's anything here that would really unsettle or terrify people.
Well, let me ask you this.
Again,
I know. But do you think, though, that... Because The Shining wasn't jump scares either, or am I wrong?
No, well, you've seen it more recently than me. I'm going to go with you. Yeah, I don't think it was.
To me, totally,
that was atmosphere.
He couldn't do jump scares because then we've totally very shifted from that first movie.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is he's trying to be cohesive, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I just didn't think this was that... It barely makes a horror in my book. It's more of a thriller.
Yeah, which is probably why I liked it more.
With supernatural elements, sure. Like, you know, we have supernatural powers, The Shining, and whatever
else
they call
it. Question for you. If a thriller has supernatural elements, is it just automatically a horror?
Well, that's the point. I think this film is categorized as a horror. I'm not sure it should be.
I would definitely do that as a layperson who knows nothing of horror, but I know what you mean. Okay, well, I mean...
They're my problems with the film. The performances are all pretty good.
Performances are great.
Ferguson is good as Rose the Hat. I think the kid is very good at it.
Yeah.
She was, you know, there was a moment in this film.
The kid's great.
Where she has to channel someone else. And she nails it. She's very good in that moment.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. She kills.
And then Ewan McGregor, I thought particularly early, I thought the first half an hour his performance was especially strong when he was playing the alcoholic, world-weary person.
Because he was really messed up.
He becomes a bit more bland as the film progresses.
Well, he cleans up.
Yeah.
So it's not interesting
to watch.
Yeah,
it's not. And I guess he kind of falls behind, even though he's the central character, kind of falls behind Rose the Hat and Abra in terms of what's
the importance of the film, exactly.
On screen.
You know what was real cool? There's a couple scenes where, like, they're sort of astral traveling, shall we say, right?
Very well filmed.
Oh, I was like, that's beautiful.
100%
and just
agree.
The way it was done, like, ooh, so this guy's got a bit of that. And that's obviously nothing like The Shining. So he's got enough of his own style in here. This is my movie.
Yes.
You know, but it throws back well enough to make people happy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No arguments there. Anything else you want to say non-spoilers, or should we get into the spoiler part?
Let's get into the spoiler part, because I need to ask a question.
Okay, here we go then. Spoilers after this for The Shining, not The Shining, Doctor Sleep. Spoiler. All right, Wayne.
Okay.
Have at it. What are your questions?
All right, so let me get this out of the way. When they took the little boy who was a baseball thing and they named
it. It was Jacob Tremblay.
Who's that?
The kid from The Room. Or Room.
Oh, really?
Yep.
The Brie Larson thing.
Yeah, Brie Larson film. Yeah, and in Good Boys, which you haven't seen yet, but I have.
I've got that queued up.
Very funny.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Wow. Well, that's excellent performance by him.
He's a really good kid actor, but he's in it for like, you know, 7 or 8 or 8 minutes.
It's a day of shooting, but the whole scene itself, this is a little bit like It, where because I had such a problem with that scene, and it was so graphic. They just...
I
know they had to do that to make you scared of the...
And this is the one scene that gets it into horror territory.
Yeah.
They literally murder a kid on screen, torturing him.
Yeah, like...
And that's a real first for most... Even go back to Ready or Not. That's not played like this. Speak around it. But basically, violence happens to children off screen.
Yes.
Almost always violence, if it has to happen to children, according to a script, it happens off screen.
Yes.
Not this movie.
No. And you know what? It makes it even worse because at the beginning, the first little girl who you just know is a sweet little girl is clearly being captured by these people. Now you figured out what happened to her.
Yeah.
And you're like, fucking happened to the book. And it's just like, these people must be stopped.
Again, I've read the book, so I had no problem knowing what was happening to that girl
the start. Because I thought, maybe they just fucking knocked her out or something. I don't know. I don't know.
I did, Wayne.
See, again, this is why hopeful people can't watch horror movies, right? And so that was really... So that first thing, first of all, that I had real problems with that. And I'm like, right. But it did exactly what it was supposed to do, which is make me hate these fucks, right? Yep. Even Rebecca Ferguson. So...
Oh, no. Now you have a love-hate relationship.
It's a character.
Right? Oh, right. Okay. You hate Rose the Hat.
Okay. Yes. Rose the Hat can fuck off. Now, all right. So my questions are as follows. In The Shining, the book, the Overlook Hotel burned down.
Correct.
In the movie, it stayed standing, which allowed this movie to return to the Overlook Hotel, which is what happens in the third act.
Yeah, which is very slavishly reproduced, very, very intricately.
Oh my God, that must have cost a fortune.
There is one shot in this whole film, which is repurposed footage from The Shining.
What was it?
It's when the blood comes out of the elevator.
Oh, you know what? I was wondering if that was the case, because I was like, that would have been hard to do again, man. Mm-hmm. And also, to get it exactly looking right, no way, right?
Everything else is rebuilt.
Amazing.
From the ground up.
And like, okay, so that's the question then. Given that in the book that Stephen King wrote, the Overlooked Old Hill is already burned down, and it burns down at the end of this movie, what happened at the end of the book?
They go back to the site.
The site.
Yes, but the hotel is gone.
Ah, okay, so that's not so bad. So still there's ghosts there that fuck with her, right?
Energy. To be honest, I don't remember it real well, except for in the book, Danny lives.
No way.
Yeah, Danny and Abra live and go on their way. In the movie, obviously, Danny doesn't make it and...
Probably made it better, but even Stephen... I don't know.
I would imagine Stephen King's planning to return to Danny Torrance as a character and continue him in another book, and that's why he doesn't die. I see that the it's a natural endpoint for him to lay down
exactly.
His life.
For a movie, you got to
do like his guy, the guy who dies in The Shining, who's back in this film, is Carl Lumley.
Yep.
He's now become that for Abra. So it all makes sense. It has a nice beat
to
it.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're right.
I wasn't that moved when he died. I didn't really care that much, to be honest.
Well, it was...
And when the film... tried to play the little subtle bit of, he's alive, at the very sort of final scene.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it for a second.
No, I knew he was a ghost. But like, actually, for a second I didn't, and then I was like, because I was hopeful, right? So, so I'm interested to hear that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. What did you think of his using new actors to represent people in The Shining?
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand why, for the story, it makes sense that he talks to his dad, and his dad has become a ghost at the Overlook Hotel, but from the memory, vague that it is, of the Shining, there's a picture of Jack on the wall from 1921 or whatever it is. So he's already there.
At the end, you mean?
In The Shining. No, I mean
in the original Shining.
So he sees himself as how come I'm on staff here as a, you know, type thing. So I'm not...
Well, we don't see that until the end of the movie, of The Shining.
Is that what, at the end?
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's references to pictures, but you never see that one.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though. The in The Shining, again, it's just because I read it, about it. The bartender that Jack Nicholson, talks to is the previous caretaker, but is very vague about, no, I've always been here. I'm not this guy that you think I am, Lloyd, whatever this,
that. Yeah, it's Lloyd. That was his name.
Yeah, so now Jack Torrance, who is in that the Overlook Hotel, is now the bartender for his son. And he's like, are you my dad? And he's like, I'm not your dad. You know,
I didn't like the look of him, though.
That's my problem now. This is what I want to ask you.
Anything like Jack Nicholson.
Well, what happened was, as he was talking with him, I was just noticing that his hair is exactly like Jack Nicholson's. Is he supposed to be Jack Nicholson?
Yes.
So I shouldn't have had that moment. I should have known it was Jack
Nicholson. Whereas I wasn't sure either until he called him dad.
That's right.
And you know who he's playing it?
The guy from Haunted...
House on Hill, but you actually mean Elliot from E.T.
Yes, Henry Thomas!
Yeah.
And I read that, I was like, what? Elliot from E.T. is doing that? How old is he? Damn, all
it's
right.
About
yeah.
our age.
Yeah, it must be about our age. Yep. So that was my issue. That one thing that I thought was, at least for the Jack Nicholson character, maybe there's a rights issue here, but could they not CGI it to look just like him?
I would imagine the budget didn't allow for it.
Maybe.
Slash, yeah, that would be my best guess. However, the woman, and I'm sorry, I haven't got it here in front of me, her name, yeah. who played Shelley Duvall's character, I thought she was pretty banging on. She was very good.
She spiritually was definitely very like her.
Obviously she's not as ugly as Shelley Duvall.
She was, wasn't she?
She's a very ugly woman.
I mean, maybe she was haggard. I think she
did a wonderful performance in that film.
Well, she paid the price.
And fucking, that's all that matters. Yeah. But she's not a good looking woman.
Yeah, good point. Wow, yeah, Stanley Kubrick there. But I was wondering what you thought about that, because they do it a lot, even the girls and the this and the that, right? They do it a lot, and I was like... and
the girls, again, you can get away with that. Like, lots of kids look like lots of kids.
Exactly.
With the right makeup.
Well, even Danny as a boy doesn't look like the kid in The Shining at all. Not at all, but like spiritually to young people.
None of that bothered me, but the Jack Nicholson one really
did.
Yeah,
because that one is Jack Nicholson, you know what I mean?
He's too iconic.
Yes, and he should have looked exactly like him.
And he barely looked like him at all. I had the same moment as you. Is this meant to be him? Oh, you called him dad. I guess it is. All right.
And you know what? There was talk I read of Christian Slater doing that role, because everyone compares Jack Nicholson and Christian Slater all the time. But if you'd done that, you'd be like, wait, is it Christian Slater? You know what I mean? It would have worked even less well. So
look, it's a minor complaint. Like as I said, my two big complaints are the pacing and the fact it's not horrifying enough. I thought the fight back between Danny and Cliff Curtis, he's playing his best mate, or his mate he develops over sort of 10 years.
When they shoot in the forest?
That was great.
That was really cool. And it was cool to see that, oh, good, bullets can affect these fucking things. Because I hate it when it's like, yeah, we're fucking, nothing hurts us. Yeah. I'm like, why? Nothing. There's no other thing like that.
They go down, and then the plan, that was pretty cool. Abra's dad dying is different. He doesn't die in the book either.
Doesn't he?
Yep. So
that was harsh.
In a way, the film's a lot more bloodthirsty. And
yeah, it is. It is.
And as a father of a daughter, I could totally understand when the dad just went straight up to Danny.
Took him out. Absolutely. You fucking with my daughter, I will fucking destroy you. I understand. I'm not even dead. So, yeah, that was cool, all that. And it's good. You know what I'd really like then is that he's like, no, Abra, show him. So there wasn't this long, drawn-out scene.
No, exactly. I agree.
Just boom. He's like, oh, my God. And all of a sudden, he's believing. Great device.
I also really enjoyed the bit where, so Abra channels Danny, or lets Danny come into her.
Yes.
And basically kills Crow Daddy. That was a cool moment.
That kid was great.
That was what I was referring to before. That's absolutely. When she was excellent acting.
Just really, really good.
Nailed it. I do have some complaints about, like, so Danny, again, probably he had to die, because there would have been a nationwide manhunt for him. Because what did he do with Jacob Tremblay's body?
Oh, he would have just left.
He had all his DNA all over it.
Yep.
They took the glove, whatever else, to get Abra to get the connection. And then his best mate, he's in the middle of a gunfight. His best mate kills himself at the request or the order of Snake by Annie. Everyone, what's the common factor here? This guy's DNA, this, they would have tracked him down.
Absolutely.
Oh, and then, of course, Abra's dad's dead as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, look, the girl would have cleared him, probably.
They have one throwaway line
where
they say, they've been around a long time, they're very rich and powerful, I don't think police are going to help us. That's all that we get.
Is that why they've been allowed to get away with this for so
long?
Is that the idea?
That's the implication, yeah.
Okay, and let me ask you this. Is there in the movie they mention how Rebecca Ferguson says, we're not the last, right? So she may or may not be lying. Do you know anymore, having read the novel?
No, not, I 7 years ago I read the book, I can't remember any more than that. Yeah. But as I said, I think the fact that King left Danny alive and Abra alive,
you think he was coming
back? There's a real sense of there's more to tell in this part of his connected universe.
Well, if he's gonna write it, he's gonna write it now. So
anyway, there you go. So that's our thoughts.
Yep,
it's obviously very positive. And again, 2019 rallying late.
Yeah,
I've heard some mixed reviews of this. I know some podcasts didn't like it, but I was quite happy. If again 20-25 minutes shorter, this would have easily been in my top five films of the year. As it stands, I'm going to score it. Final thoughts are good film, good sequel. Obviously, it's not going to live up to the reputation of The Shining. I think Mike Flanagan does a very good job, and that's all you could really ask of him in this particular project. I'm going to give it a 73.
Whoa! Okay, for me, I thought it felt sensitive. It was thorough, well-made, intriguing to look at, pleasurable to watch, just a little long, yep, 71.
Sure. Oh, yeah. No complaints at all. Nice. There it is then, our review of Dr. Sleep, or as Wayne would prefer to refer to it as...
Dr. Sleep.
Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? You can let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, via Twitter at thecountdownpc, or you can follow us on Podbean, leave comments on the show there, and our Australian website, which we share with a bunch of other great Australian podcasts, ccradio.com.au. That is it from us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been Soundboy, which wasn't used very much today, which is a little bit good. Sad.
Fine, do whatever you want.
We will catch you next time.
See ya.